Amen. Would you remain standing and take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the sufferings produce endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God showed his love to us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received reconciliation. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, would you open the eyes of our heart wherever we may be this morning? I pray for my friend who's seeking peace, that he would find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, each one of us knows not the other's heart. I pray as we think about the gospel this morning, I pray that you would open our eyes, that the Spirit would fall upon us in full measure, that the Spirit would roar through the message of the gospel preached this morning, that you would raise to life and call out by name as you did Lazarus from his tomb, that those dead in their transgressions and sins may live and see the glories of irresistible grace of the God who loved them enough to send their Son. Would you open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears? Would you glorify yourself in our midst as we live in this crooked and depraved generation where there is no peace and where the seeking for peace has led to all different types of sinful realities. Father, may we hold fast to the gospel of peace. May we fit our feet with it in readiness as we go forth into this world. And may you work in our hearts to help us to find peace in you. And pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For those of you who are into this kind of stuff, first of all, I apologize. We didn't have a lot of bulletins. Our copier kept jamming. And so instead of wasting paper and jams, and instead of getting my secretary frustrated and angrier, we decided just to go with the ones that we had. So sorry that not everybody got it. But for those who are interested, I want to change my sermon title to Rest in Peace. A couple days before my Uncle Virgil went to be with the Lord, he was in a nursing home in Jerseyville. And I realized that it was going to probably be the last time that I would see him alive and had this last opportunity to talk to him. I went to him and loved my uncle dearly, both of my uncles, and so thankful that God, the work that God did in their lives. And here I was with my uncle literally on his deathbed. And we had some time alone, and I leaned on really close to him, and I asked him what was going through his mind. My Uncle Verge kind of had a different sense of humor, and he kind of smiled, this weary smile, and he said, "I hope I've done enough." Well, I told him that I wasn't in the mood for joking. And I said, "Uncle Verge, you know where your peace lies." And he kind of lifted up his head and his chest and took a deep breath, and with a raspy voice, he just cried out, "Jesus." And I said, "You're right. Your rest, your peace, doesn't depend on your works." Now, if there was anyone who could have been saved by works, it probably would have been my Uncle Verge. Next to the little phrase, "Give your shirt off your back," is my uncle's picture. He was just that type of guy. He would give and give and give. He was often more used by people than anything just because of his heart to give. And yet he knew that his salvation didn't rest in his doing, but came from his relationship with God. I realized that it was time to say goodbye, and leant down and prayed with him and gave him a kiss, and we said our goodbyes, and a few days later had the honor of preaching at his funeral. And I ask you this morning, are you resting in peace? You might say, "Well, Pastor, getting the cart before the horse there a little bit. I'm not quite dead." Because that's all we think about, isn't it? Rest in peace is about later on. But those who rest in peace, truly rest in peace later on, are those who are resting in Christ now. And so I ask you, are you resting in peace? Is your heart at peace with God? And this morning we return to the vine on which that abides in the Lord Jesus Christ and manifests Christ's likeness, to see the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of peace. We've taken this cursory look at love and joy. We couldn't do them justice, and neither will we do justice to peace. But what we need to recognize in a world in which we live, where all the things of God are taken and made devoid of God and redefined for a culture, sometimes, sadly, even by the church, peace needs to find its definition and its origins in God. And that might seem simple to us, but many are the people, including Christians, who think about peace in God as later on and not in the present, and yet they long for peace and chase after it in any number of ungodly ways. Therefore, it's good for us in this series to examine ourselves and ask ourselves questions. Does the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, are those characteristics of my life? For if they're not, there's a problem. And we need to address that problem. It might be because you're not in Christ. It might be because God is sanctifying you and needs to cut away and prune those things in your life so that that fruit can fully be produced. The fruit of the Spirit is not optional. Neither is it one that we can claim one because we do that better, but not the other, as maybe gifts of the Spirit are dispersed by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is for every believer to be manifest in every believer's life. And if one is going to experience true peace, it must begin with a relationship with God, and God Himself must be the measure and the means of our peace. The peace in our lives, that it should be that relationship with God that we find peace in. Before we find peace in ourselves, being comfortable with ourselves or finding peace with another person. Because if it's not finding God, found in God, we will go to any strange degrees to seek and find peace. So let's just walk through this passage as we understand the foundational element of peace. And then in weeks to come, we will see it manifest and shown forth in various and different ways. Notice that it is peace with God. Verse 1, Paul says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have." So if you're justified by faith, we have peace with God, means through our Lord Jesus Christ. And right away, Paul tells us that true peace is peace with God. As such, it's a foundation and the fountainhead of every other kind of peace. So many people these days are searching for peace, but their search is in futility because they're looking for a peace in wrong places, devoid of a relationship with God. In John 14:27, Jesus says these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." See, the world will offer you solutions to offer peace. But they're only temporary, they're only momentary. But ask yourself the question, in your heart of hearts, have you maybe said this statement? "I would be at peace if only. I would be at peace if only. I would be at peace if only my marriage was not in shambles. I would be at peace if my wife left or my husband left." Maybe that's where you're at. "I would be at peace if my children all believed. I would be at peace if. And all of a sudden we recognize that those are valuable realities. But that's not the source of true peace. For our lives, a true peace needs to come forth and bubble forth from our relationship with God, which comes through justification. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," and right away Paul connects peace with God with justification. Isn't it good that we've been in the catechism? And I would encourage you, if you didn't start in Sunday school, jump right in. We're barely in the first number. I think we're at 24 or something questions. So we've got a lot to go. And there'll be lots to learn, and we can get lots more books. But it's in the catechism that we learn these wonderful truths of doctrine. So what is justification? Big long word. Justification is this. Justification is an act of God's free grace whereby he has pardoned us of all of our sins. Past, present, and future. In God's eyes and his economy, he has pardoned us. At that moment, he has pardoned us of all of our sins. And he accepts us as righteous in his eyes, solely for the righteousness of Christ imputed or given to us and received by faith alone. Your justification, that moment in time when you came to know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, from that moment on, you were forgiven of all of your sins. You were pardoned of all your sins. You were proclaimed once and for all right in the eyes of God. And you were completely seen as righteous. Now, sometimes our hearts and our lives don't look like the righteousness in which God sees us. And for the Christian to be seen in the righteousness of Christ by God should not lead to lackadaisical living. It should lead to a motivation of saying, I am already forgiven. I am already seen as righteous in the eyes of God. God the Father today, this morning, sees you. If you are in Christ, He sees you completely as He sees His Son. Chew on that for a bit. That God the Father sees you as holy as He sees Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that should motivate us to say, oh, my life outwardly must look like how God sees me. That's sanctification. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And notice that not only are we justified, but later on it says that we have been reconciled by God. That this is all a work of God. And reconciliation, we see that in verses 10 through 11. Notice what he says there. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Verse 11, more than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, why is that important? Because the word peace in the Greek literally means to bring two separated things to rejoin them. That you and I are now rejoined to God as God created us and intended us in the garden to be in an intimate relationship with God. Now, very often we focus on being created in the image of God. But we're also created to be in profound and complete intimate relationship with God. And that was broken in the fall. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, two pieces have become one piece. I.e. that peace is that we are seen as holy and we have now been brought completely and utterly together. The two have become, that were separated, have been rejoined. What that means is that all of God's is yours. The holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the power of God, that's why we're encouraged to pray. That all of God is ours and we are in this glorious relationship with God. Kelly mentioned it earlier in Hebrews, that we're to come boldly into the very presence of God, crying out, Abba, Father. Let me ask you this morning, is that where your peace lies? In other words, have you been justified? Are you saved? Now let me make this very clear. Just because you're in church doesn't necessarily mean you're in Christ. And some would actually get peace and comfort mixed up. We've been talking about the different challenges. What's the difference between peace and comfort? Kelly and I were talking about it last night when we had our time of fellowship and the kids were out and we did our derby and they were squealing and having fun and doing all this thing and then they got into the water thing and she said, I remember that. Those kids will always remember that. It will be such a comfort to them that when they think about the church, they'll think about being together, the adults being in there and them just playing and reveling in the covenant family of God. That's a wonderful comfort. I'm sure each one of us has memories of that as a child where we were comforted by that. But that's not peace. And so some of us think that being in church and being comfortable is peace. No, it isn't. It's a glorious thing. But peace is that recognition of our lostness and Christ's sufficiency to save us and to find peace and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So I would ask you, don't be comfortable and think that that's peace. Seek a peace that only comes from the living God. Let's take a moment and just look at the sources of this peace, which are found in three verses that are given to us as well. And they all point us to God. In them, we find where peace comes from and where it doesn't come from. Verse 6, notice that peace comes from not our strength and our ability, but from God. Verse 6, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, is that good news? That you don't have to have the ability and the strength to make peace with God. It is God who finds you in utter weakness, and he's the one who does the work in you. In other words, we have no ability in and of ourselves to be able to produce in ourselves or to do anything that would warrant peace with God. But God sees us in our weakness, and he, the stronger one, makes peace with us, the weaker. Notice this, that peace is not found in our righteousness or goodness, verse 8. But God showed his love for us when? That in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you think about it, notice who Jesus has the most problems with in the gospel. It's the self-righteous. And maybe you are reveling in your self-righteousness. I'm a darn good person. I'm a whatever, fill in the blank. I. And if that's where you're resting, the trouble is that the people who are self-righteous in their own goodness had the most trouble hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, they were offended. But those who came in droves were the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, who could hear with clear ears because they knew their sin. And they knew their need for a Savior. And they recognized that in the midst of their sin, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, had come. And not only had he come, but he had come to bring peace through the death on the, through his death on the cross. And finally, notice that it's not our initiative to be friends with God that brings us peace, but it's God's initiative towards us as enemies. Verse 10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death. And I want you to notice that in each one of these verses, it talks about our sinfulness, our inability, but you also notice that justification and peace with God is not cheap. It cost God his only son to make peace with you. And to add anything in our lives to say, yes, it's Jesus and my goodness and my righteousness and my whatever, is to cheapen the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for the remission of your sins. And that is an offense to the living God. Instead, find yourself reveling in your weakness, in your sinfulness, in the reality of the fact that you are an enemy and yet God came towards you. And there find joy. And finally, I want you to think about the benefits of peace. Notice the first benefit of peace is found in verse 2, that we have access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. If mercy is the fact that we don't get what we actually deserve, i.e. we don't get hell because Christ died and took the penalty for our sin, that's mercy. Grace is that we actually get what we don't deserve. And that is the fullness of God in all of his mercy and grace. That this morning, the grace that we now stand in We enter boldly into the very presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the ends of the earth and the farthest, most distant universe, who knitted you together in your mother's womb. And I am recognizing and realizing how much it must grieve the heart of God that we don't know him to the full extent that we would believe in miracles and actually pray for miracles and actually call on his name to show forth his glory in ways that we would just say, well, that was for then and now we have science. Oh, just think about how much we've been robbed of the glory and the manifestation of God's power. And I'm not talking naming and claiming. I'm saying recognizing that God is at work in this very moment. And then notice three rejoices. We rejoice. The word rejoice can actually be translated that we boast. Or that we walk into this world with our head held high. And notice what we're called to rejoice in. The first thing, the benefit of peace, is that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This moment in time and space and history, as bad as it is, Jeannie Hill, tell your friend it's not the end. That the glory yet to come is so much greater than this. That there is a peace in the midst of this reality. But there is a peace yet to come where sin will be no more. And Satan's head will be crushed once and for all. And we will rejoice in crushing his head with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, we no longer fear judgment at the coming of the Lord. We can hold our heads high in the midst of all that's going on in the chaos of this world because we have peace now, not just in the future. Secondly, we rejoice in suffering. Who rejoices in suffering but the one who has peace with God in the moment? So are you suffering? Many of you will say, absolutely. I'm suffering in my body. I'm suffering in my flesh. I'm suffering in my relationships. I'm suffering in any number of different realities. Are you at peace in that suffering? Are you actually rejoicing? Are you holding your head high and boasting? If you're not, it might be because you're missing the connection between peace with God in the midst of suffering. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing to the glory that is yet to be revealed. And don't compare your sufferings now to somebody else. Compare them to the glory yet to be revealed and the fact that Christ has come to you. And then finally, we rejoice in God. In the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of the mess of your life and my life, we rejoice in Emmanuel. God with us. Just imagine if you walked into your day with a true belief. Just imagine if you walked into your doctor's appointments and this, God is with me. And allow that to saturate your life, how different our perspective on life would be. Because God himself, Emmanuel, is with us. I close with this poem that speaks well to this by a person named T. Baird. Three Christian brothers met one day to speak of things divine. They had so much of Christ to say, with joy their faces shined. The first one said, "My brothers dear, by virtue of Christ's blood, my heart retains no guilt or fear. I now have peace with God." The second brother answered bold, "You lag on heaven's road. I've grasped the truth with higher hold. I have the peace of God." The third dear brother drew up tall and laughed and scarce could cease. "My brothers dear, I beat you all. I have the God of peace." They all had peace. They all were right, but peace in diverse measures. The third had scaled the highest heights of heaven's exalted pleasures. We can have peace with God. We can have the peace of God. And you and I can have the confidence that we have the God of peace with us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that in the storm that is our world today, that we, the people of God, would be beacons and lighthouses showing forth the peace of God within our hearts in the midst of chaos. That we would draw people not to ourselves, but to Christ living in us, who has granted us peace. May we strive to live our days with the reality of having peace with you, and therefore being able to boast, to hold our head high, and to rejoice in the sufferings that we face, in the glory yet to come, and in your very person. Grow us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you all to rise and join us as we cry out to our Lord.